The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lose everything. Father in heaven, who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him as your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, grant that all who are baptized into his dead name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honor, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
29, to be read responsibly by half verse. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders.
The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice.
The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe.
And stirs the forest fair.
And in the temple of the Lord,
all are crying glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people.
The Lord shall give his people blessing and peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Second reading, a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I'll get used to all this paraphernalia at some point, probably when we're getting ready to do away with them again. This Sunday is a special Sunday in the church year, and it is a day that we remember always, the Sunday after the Epiphany. It's always when we remember the baptism of Jesus. And the baptism of Jesus really presents us with somewhat of a conundrum. Not quite sure what to do with it. The scriptures tell us, and it's in one of the Eucharistic prayers, D, if you follow that sort of minutia, it says, "He lived as one of us, yet without sin." And you'll find that very prominently in the Epistle to the Hebrews. So the question that comes about, and it's evident that it was a question that the early church asked as well, is why did Jesus have to be baptized? Going to the baptism of John for the remission of sins. So why does Jesus have to be baptized? You can tell somewhat the uneasiness because of all the gospel readings. This morning we're reading in Luke. Of all the gospel readings, this one is the one that just sort of doesn't know quite what to do and just in passing reference mentions it. Oh yeah, when all the people were baptized. Oh yeah, and when Jesus was baptized. You kind of get the drift of that reference. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? Now, I want to attempt an answer with that in the only way that I know how, because some truths are not things that you can do in a propositional form, but have to be either in art, which is a great way, or in music, or in story. You'll discover that I love stories. I don't apologize for that because Jesus loves stories. And I figure, well, if it was good enough for him, you know, why not? And the disciples actually got annoyed with that at some point and said, "Look, if you're going to tell us plainly, not these parables." But Jesus sort of held his ground and said, you know, the reality of God's kingdom is not something that you can do simply by exposition. So let me tell you a story. Here's I'm going to tell you two stories. One is a sort of a fictional story, and the other is from my own life. Here's the fictional story. There was a boy named Johnny. He was 7 or 8, and he lived in a southern town where they had a town square. I guess you can find those, as we say, up north, but it's a very prominent feature of southern communities where the roads used to all converge on the town square. And the reason for the significance of that detail is that Johnny's birthday had just occurred, and the party was over, and his favorite gift was a baseball and a bat. It wasn't one of those aluminum things that goes ping when you hit it. It just had a real solid feel to it. And he was in love with it. He went to bed with it. You've been there. And he couldn't wait to get out the next morning and give her a try. So bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, he woke up and he went out into the town square. He tossed the ball up. You know how you do that, right? He took a good swing at it. Really a solid hit. And he watched the ball right into the plate glass window of the local hardware store. And he was frozen there. I mean, I have done crazy things in my life. I suspect you have too, where when you've done them, you don't know what else to do. And he was terrified. A crowd started to gather around, and then the store owner appeared. And he said, "Who did this? Who's going to pay for this?" You know, I was looking down at the ground. And he said it again, "Who did this and who's going to pay?" And then he was aware that there was an arm on his shoulder and a familiar voice. Was the voice of his father. And his father said, "He's mine. I'll pay." Now, returning to the question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Certainly not for his sinful life, but as a representation of standing beside those who he claimed to be his, and standing beside and affirming his support, affirming that he's mine, you're mine. That's what Jesus says. Whatever there is to pay, I'll pay. Now, I know that that image is difficult for some. So I want to just share a little bit about my own father. I already told you his name was Ernie. And he was a chief petty officer in the Navy with a rich vocabulary. And sometime I'll tell you about that. He was a person who was raised in an era that you didn't hug. Certainly you didn't hug your son. And he could not bring himself to do that even before he died. And he could never say, "I love you." Just wasn't in his makeup. But I never doubted that he did. And it kind of came into focus for me one day. We were out playing baseball, and you know that you had rules if you didn't have teams. You just sort of hit to the field, you know what I mean? And there weren't any written rules, but it was understood that you got 10 or 15 swings at the ball, and then somebody else came up to bat. That's how we did it. And we were out one day, and at the end of our session, my friend said to me, "Do you want to come see Howdy Doody tonight?" How many of you remember Howdy Doody? Okay, there's a fair number in that. So anyhow, he said, "You want to come and see Howdy Doody tonight?" And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Well, it's on television." And I said, "What's that?" And I went to his house, and, you know, on that big screen, we saw Howdy Doody. And with my sister and I thought, wow, that's really, really neat. So the next day we were out doing our usual batting and all that sort of thing, and he was batting, and we came to 10 at bats. And I said, okay, somebody else's turn. And he said, no, I'm going to keep batting. And we said, well, that's not the way we play. And he said to my sister and I, do you want to watch Heavy Duty tonight? Well, we did. And I was telling that at the dinner table that night. My father was obviously moved by that. Now, we were poor, but by the end of the week, we had a television in our house. He wasn't going to have his kids be bullied like that. Did he ever say that I love you? No. Did I ever doubt? No. Because he did that for us. Now, some of you have had experiences like that with your father, and that image doesn't quite mean the same. But I'll tell you, there's a wonderful line in Psalm 27. And let me just read it to you. It says this in verse 14. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will sustain me. And one of the things that I know that you know, but it's always worth repeating, you know, God loves you so much and affirms you for who you are. You don't have to be somebody that you're not, but you do have to be sort of more perfectly you. And God smiles on you. And even when your mother and father don't know how to do that for you, and that does happen, God will sustain you and uphold you. Now, coming back to the question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Well, to stand always beside you and me. And he does put his arm on our shoulder. Whenever you've screwed up, and I don't know how often that happens for you, but for me it's a lot. His arm is there. And he says, he's mine. You're Christ. He's mine. And whatever he owes, I'll pay. Amen.